Well, you're wrong. I want to draw our attention to a passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It's a passage which deals with division in the church. Now, you may wonder why am I dealing with that, but really it's an issue about division in leadership. And I'm trying to help us avoid that right at the start of us being together. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul writes, "Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another says, 'I follow Apollos,' are they not mere men? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each a task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes it grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid the foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on a foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burnt up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the fire." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his words. I want to remind us of true Christian leaders today. What kind of leader is a true Christian leader? There are 9 things I'm going to tell you today. It's not going to take long, I promise you. 3 things you need to avoid, 3 things you need to remember, and 3 things you need to do. Of course, I'm preaching at Brian today, but then I'm preaching to all of us, because many of us are Christian leaders here. So what are the 3 things we must avoid? Well, first of all, Brian, you need to avoid thinking you are important when people call you by name. The reality is our job puts us in the public light. A lot of people know us. I often go through town when I'm at the Pick and Pay or at the spa or something like that. Somebody will bump me in the aisle and say, "Hello, Mfundis." And I'll say, "And who are you?" We are in the public eye. That's the reality. And people are going to call us by name. They're going to know you. The sad reality is, there are many who think that lots of people know who they are, that makes them more important than others. But Paul reminds us today, friends, that who's Paulus? Who's Paul? Who are those people? They're nobody. There's nobody important. There's a lesson I've learnt in ministry. It's this: sometimes the people who call you by name will later start calling you names. So you've got to be careful. Don't think that just because people know your name, it's what they call you behind your back that's important. What name are they giving you behind your back? Not the name that they're calling you face to face. Friend, there is only one name in the church that's above all other names, and that is the name
Jesus.
Come on, congregation, you're like a bunch of Baptists this morning. There is only one name above all other names, and that is the name
Jesus.
Of course. That is the name that needs to be lifted up. No one else. Secondly, you must avoid thinking that you're the answer to everybody's problems. Paul writes, what is Apollos? What is Paul? We're only servants through whom you came to believe as people given a task by God. I know when all of us left theological college, we all thought we were God's answer for the church, didn't we? We thought we were going to change the Baptist Union. We thought we were going to be the great savior of the church in South Africa. But friends, the problem is when we leave college, we don't even know what questions to ask, let alone being the answer to those questions. We can't be the answer to the questions because we don't even know what questions people are asking. Friends, we're part of a body. You're not the answer to everybody's issues. You never will be. There's not a Christian leader, friends, that can meet everybody's needs. It's the one joy of being part of a team ministry. I'm so looking forward to working with Brian that we can complement each other. I'm much more of an introvert. You know, when I'm finished preaching today, I'm going to go and sit in my corner. You know, but when Brian is finished preaching, he wants to talk to everybody that leaves here. Isn't that true? Everybody wants to. He wants to talk to everybody. That's not who I am. But friends, that's the joy of being part of a team. You know, we can do things differently. We're not the answer to everybody's issues. We can meet some people's issues, and we must never forget that. The third thing to avoid is this: avoid thinking that you are more important than other Christians in the church. I want to ask you, the sad reality is people are chasing after titles these days. I did a bit of survey yesterday when I was preparing and putting the final parts to the sermon together. I went onto Google and I Googled Christian adverts for Christian events. And I looked at the titles that were in those titles of those adverts. It went everything, friends, from prophet, bishop, reverend, doctor, apostle, highly favored, anointed, doubly anointed, pastor, first lady, you name it. Every title you can think of, there is some preacher out there who thinks that title belongs to him. Friend, titles are not important. They are nothing. I watched a video clip this last week of a man who was, member of the congregation taking the video. Videotaping their pastor, calling the deacons of the church to pick up a person who had walked to the front of the church, to pick him up and throw him out the church. You know why? Because he dared to interrupt the pastor's preaching because he was wanting the pastor to pray for him. And the pastor called the deacons And they literally pick him up and they take him and they throw him out. And when they throw him out, they come back into the church and the pastor says there is not a single person who can interrupt me when I'm preaching because I am the anointed one of God in this church. It's a real video I watched this week, friends. Friends, Paul is pretty clear here in verse 9. Who are we? We are just, the Greek word is the word sunergos. The word sunergos means we are workers. We are workers together. Verse 9 says, we are God's fellow workers. There's no title. The Apostle Paul wasn't looking for a title. Friends, he saw himself as a worker in the kingdom of God. So avoid thinking that you're important because people know your name. Avoid thinking that you're the solution for all the problems. Avoid thinking that you're more important than others. But then there are three things we're told that we should remember. What should we remember in this passage? First one is this. Remember, whatever you manage to achieve is really the work of God. There's nothing you can do that isn't the work of God. Nothing you achieve in ministry is through your own efforts. I've come to realize that because I'm fortunately a pastor of many years of experience. I'll tell you why I know that. I've preached many thousands of sermons over the years. And I'm pretty diligent in my preparation. And there have been times when I have prepared what I thought was a wonderful sermon. It had alliteration. It had illustration. It had explanation. It had a few hymns in there. It had a few Greek words in there. It was, in every way, from my perspective, a fantastic sermon. And when I preached it with passion and with vigor and with everything God gave me. Only to discover when I go to the door, nobody even says a word about what I've said. Nothing. Not even, thank you, Pastor, for the message today. Nothing. And then there have been times, friends, when you have a week like sometimes you do have in the ministry. You know those weeks. Somebody gets sick or somebody dies or something happens and all the things that you had, all the time that you had planned to prepare the sermon is you don't get time to prepare the sermon. And at 11 o'clock on Saturday night, you're writing something down. And on Sunday morning, you come to church and you talk and you're trying to, you haven't got your thoughts together and you're here and you're there and you're everywhere. And you leave the pulpit that day and you think, Lord, forgive my mess. Then somebody comes to you and says, do you know, what you said today was as if God were speaking to me directly. Brian, whatever you achieve in ministry is always God's work. God's gracious to us, uses us from time to time. But it's God who's doing that. We're just agents. We're just doing what he calls us to do. Second thing you need to remember. Remember that what you do is going to be judged on the final day. And for us that call ourselves pastors, the Bible is particularly clear. We're going to be doubly judged. It's a scary thought, isn't it? Listen to what Paul writes in verse 13. His work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed by fire, and fire will test the quality of each man's work. I've often said from this pulpit and in members' meetings that I'm not employed by Bethany Emmanuel. You're all quiet, aren't you? Jesus employs me. I don't work for Bethany Emmanuel, I work for Jesus. There is only one well done, good and faithful servant that I want to hear, friends, at the end of my life. I don't care what people say to me while I'm walking the face of this earth. There is only one whom I want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. And that is when I stand before my judge at the end of time. You're going to be judged, friend. Whatever you do, pastor, you're going to be judged. Be very careful what you do with what God has given to you. Third thing to remember. Remember that your reward, and I'm encouraged by this, your reward is based on your labor, not your achievements. It's a great encouragement here. In verse 8, Paul says, the man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and they will be rewarded according to their success, according to the biggest church they have, according to the number of sermons they've preached. No, friends, they will be rewarded according to their labor. It's how hard you are working for the Lord. Christians often, leaders particularly, make the mistake in thinking that it's our achievements that are the great thing that we should be praised for. Friends, there are great men who have achieved great things. But let me ask you, do you know the name Mordecai Fowler Ham? Ever heard do you know the name Mordecai Fowler Ham? Ever heard that name before? I bet you haven't. You know who he was? He was a preacher who preached in 1934 at a message in Charlotte. And he led a young man to the Lord. Do you know who that man was? Billy Graham. He led Billy Graham to the Lord, friends. Mordecai Fowler Ham. Never heard of him, have you? But he was faithful. He was faithful in preaching the word of God. And one day, a young man sat in front of him and heard his message and responded to his message and became a Christian and became one of the greatest Christian leaders this church has ever known. Have you ever heard the name Robin Eglin? Robert Eglin. You don't know who he is either, do you? Well, worst of all, he was a Methodist. He was a Methodist in a primitive Methodist church. You can hear from the word, the primitive Methodist church, they weren't even a fancy church. One day on the 6th of January 1850, a 15-year-old young boy was walking on his way to church. And there was a massive snowstorm. And he was a long way from his own church. And because it was snowing so badly, he just went into a Methodist church. And the preacher hadn't arrived that day, or the lay preacher that was there, the normal preacher hadn't arrived that day, and the lay preacher was there. His name was Robert Eglin. And Robert Eglin preached or shared a message out of Isaiah 45 verse 22. And the title of the message was, "Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth." And Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the prince of preachers at 15, heard God say to him, "Look to me and be saved." You've never heard of the other preacher, have you? But Charles Haddon Spurgeon, friend, has got international fame for probably, apart from Jesus, being the most famous preacher that ever there was. Because somebody labored, did what he was meant to do that day. We never heard of him again, friends. We don't have another sermon of his. We happen to have a copy of that particular sermon that he preached. That's the only copy of the sermon we preach, friends. But many of us read the books of Charles Haddon Spurgeon because Robert Eglin worked. Your reward is based on your effort. Number two, second thing you must do, you must be the best you can at your calling. Paul writes, "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder." Somebody else is building on it, but each one should be careful how he builds. You've already heard today, Brian, you're not called to be Reuben, okay? Now we've got some similarities. I can see a red heart. But thank the Lord you're not me. It would be scary if there were two of us in this world. But friend, be yourself. It's one thing I actually love about Brian. He is himself, isn't he? What you see is what you get. I really appreciate that about him. There's no second guessing as to what he'll tell you what he's thinking when he's not happy. But friend, that's what we need to be. But be the best Brian you ever can be. That's what you need to do. God has gifted you in other ways, Brian. Use those gifts to God's glory. Be the best you can at your calling. And then finally, and you know what my final point is, don't you? Make sure everything you do is about Jesus. Paul makes it so clear. "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, Jesus Christ." It's all about Jesus. Whatever you do, Brian, make sure you point to Jesus. I shared with Brian, he preached a sermon here once earlier on, and he asked me, "What did I think of it?" And I was honest with him. I told him, "You didn't talk about Jesus in your sermon." When I was at theological college, I preached a sermon in preaching class. And then the principal was Rex Matthey. Some of you may remember him. The greatest preacher we've ever had in South Africa, I think. Rex Matthey, after I preached the sermon, said to me, "Reuben, that was a wonderful sermon. You did everything you were meant to do. You filled in, you know, you had all your points. You've explained the text very clearly." But he said, "Reuben, there's only one problem with your sermon." He said, "You could preach that sermon in a synagogue and not a single Jew would be offended by it." And he was right. Because I was preaching on the book of Jeremiah, and I was preaching about Jeremiah's depression and how Jeremiah got out of his depression and God dealt with his depression. But I forgot to say, the answer to Jeremiah's depression is putting his faith and trust in Jesus. Because that's where the answer lies. Every time Spurgeon said, when you preach from the Old Testament, make sure that you run to Jesus. Make sure he's always at the center of what you're all about. It's all about Jesus. Three things you should avoid. Don't think you're important. Don't think you're the solution to everybody's issues. Don't think you're more important than others. Three things you should remember. Remember that what you achieve is God's work. Remember that you're going to be judged on the last day. And remember that God rewards your effort, not your achievement. And thirdly, three things you must do. Stay focused. Be the best that you're calling that you can be, and point people to Jesus. We're going to sing a song as we bring our service to a close. It's all about Jesus. That's what our final song is all about. It's all about Jesus, because he needs to be at the center of our thoughts in every way. When I'm finished, Brian is going to do his first bit of work as the official pastor now, to come and say grace for us and then to pronounce the benediction. And then after that, I'm going to ask the Takuta family to go to the door. And as you leave, you'll have an opportunity to greet them. And then we'll proceed to have lunch. I think it's probably be ready. Is everything ready there? I think it's all ready. You can just go and somebody will serve you for lunch. Yeah. Bethany folk, please let our guests go first, and then we'll be served after that. Thank you. Let's stand as we sing together.